Dear youth, praise be to God. We are blessed. The SCC youth is blessed. Amen. His mercy has renewed upon us this morning and now evening. The day is coming to an end. And we are here tonight. Those of you who chose to come, may God bless you. Those of you who have chosen to be in this place instead of anywhere else. Because the truth be told, the world has a lot to offer just to take us away from church, right? So praise be to God. Let me just start my timer real quick so I don't go over time. You're all seeing the video on the internet where it happened in one of our Slavic churches. A pastor was preaching, and apiratori had to, you know, put up a writing like, wrap it up, man. You're going too long. So I'm not going to take a lot of our time, brothers and sisters. I'll try to be concise. The topic of my sermon would be God's faithfulness, the example of Job. All of the scriptures that I'm going to be reading will be from the book of Job. Apiratori, may God have mercy on you following me, because I'm going to be reading from all over the place with very small amount of verses at one time. I want to start with Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. You know, right there, that one verse, you can write hundreds of sermons on that one verse. A man, and that man was blameless and upright, the one who feared God and turned away from evil. How amazing it is that the Bible, after so many thousands of years, can speak so greatly and so highly of a man in general. You know, can our relatives, can God himself say that about us today? About each one of us, that we walk blameless and we walk upright before him and we fear him? That scares me. This one verse even scares me, because as I'm going to be going through the story of Job, as we all know, if even he was tested and even he was probably attacked very mightily, very strongly by Satan. Of course, Jesus was the one that was attacked the most, but Job is right up there. But even if he was blameless and upright, God still allowed the following things to happen to him. There was a man who was blameless, upright, and fearing God. You know, dear brothers and sisters, may we all strive in our lives every single day that God would be able to say about us that we were blameless, that we were upright. May God help you, brothers and sisters. We're continuing. Second verse. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. I'm skipping over 5th verse. When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send out and concentrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This Job did continuously. This man was exceptionally righteous before God. If you have a father who is bringing up offerings, who is praying before God for his sons, alleging and hoping that God would forgive the sins that his children would do, that speaks a lot about that person. Imagine how he lived. We don't know where he lived. The Bible is not clear on that. I have no idea what time. There's a lot of evidence that shows that he lived very early in the first stages of Earth's existence. And he was walking righteously to such an extent that he himself tried to be righteous and holy before God and worrying about his own children, offerings and sacrifices and prayers to God continuously, all the time, for his family. That's how righteous Job was. That's how righteous he was before God. Sixth verse. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered to the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." You know, when there was a big Pakistani, I don't know how to say in English, rebellion in heaven, Satan was thrown into the abyss, into the space. He was thrown out of heaven. And he was roaming around the earth. He fell upon the earth as well. And his job for the rest of his existence, since the moment he was thrown away, was to hurt God, was to bring him pain. And the biggest pain that God can experience, that our Creator can experience, the God who made everything, is when his children are perishing. That's the biggest pain that you can inflict on God. There's no bigger pain. Even, you know, even the cross, even the crucifixion, even the beatings. I remember Pastor Bogdan Bondarenko from Florida. He spoke a very amazing sermon about, specifically in details, how many times Jesus was attacked, beaten, bruised, hit, spit on. What he went through, what he bore for us. None of that pain, none of that physical pain or even emotional pain would compare to one soul being lost, to one soul being hurt and being separated from God. And that's the one thing that Satan always wanted to do. As in the days of Job, thousands of years ago, so it is the same way today as we speak right now, dear brothers and sisters. And so Satan is walking around the earth in spirit. In Russian, our brothers are saying, "Как рыкающий лев, ища кого поглотить," as a roaring lion, roaming around, trying to find whom he can consume. And so, seventh verse, the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered to the Lord and said, "From roaming around the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there's no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then Satan answered to the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." Basically, what he's saying here is, of course he's going to glorify you, God. Of course he's going to praise you. You've given him everything. You protect him. You bless the works of his hands. You are there with him. You lead him through. Of course he's going to be praising you. Of course he's going to be walking righteously. 11th verse. "But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Take away all the protection that you have given to him. Dear youth, us here tonight, Satan is doing the same thing today to us. He's doing the same thing today. He's standing before God, and he's saying, of course they praise you. Of course they gather in service. Of course they serve you. They praise you. They sing you songs. They live for you. They're happy because you protect them. You protect them from this world. You protect them what's happening in this world. You protect them from the homosexuality, from complete idolatry and evil being that's happening around us. You're protecting their families, their parents. You're protecting their lives, their health, their careers, their job. Of course they're going to come to church and they're going to glorify you because you're there with them. But take away those things. Take away their health. Take away the freedom of faith. Take away their ability to preach, to gather together, to glorify you in the streets. Take away that. Take away their finances. Take away their studies, their careers, and let's see what they're going to do. Satan says that According to him, they will curse you, God, right in your face. Dear youth, we live in a blessed time. We live in a time when there has never been so much blessing in a while. I've been in America for almost 2 years. I came on April 2022, so it's in about, today's 19th, so in about 2 weeks, it's going to be 2 years. I lived my whole life outside of the States. I know what poverty is like. I know what not be able to have a car, to have an apartment, to have a job, to have some good future career, study, university. I know what it's like. And I see how much blessed we are. I see how much blessings we have. Dear youth, we don't even understand how much mercies we have every single day. You know, the statistics say that if the average household has one or two cars, that's like, what, like 1 or 2% of the richest people on earth. And your parents have more than that, more than that. God has blessed us so much. God has given us an opportunity to find jobs, to have a career, to study, to have a bright future. God has given us an opportunity to make something of ourselves, to make something to serve him with those gifts. And the question is, do we stay consistent? Do we stay grounded, rooted down in God's word like Job was? Do we come before him? Do we keep ourselves pure before him day to day? And I'm telling this to you, and I'm telling this to myself because I don't. Because I don't. Because I fail day in, day out. With the most littlest, simplest things as a Christian shouldn't fail. I fail. And I come before God every single evening and say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, because it's by your mercy, it's by your grace that I'm able to walk, to be able to breathe. I thank God every day. Or at least I try to. But Satan today is going, he's coming before Christ, and he's saying, your people, SEC youth, MFT youth, Slavic people, American, all around the world, they're glorifying you because you gave them prosperity. You gave them the time that they can rest, that they can, you know, sit back and relax. It's easy. It's easy to glorify God when things are simple, when everything is all right. When we have food on our table, when we can move around with our cars, when we go and we can study and we can have a bright future. That uplifts us, our spirit. That gives us good feeling about ourselves, right? It's hard to glorify God when times are tough. It's hard to glorify God when at the times we get, you know, a cut or a bruise on our body, or we get sick and we are nailed to the bed for a couple of weeks. It's hard to come up to God and find something to be thankful for. We continue reading in 12 verse. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord, and he was allowed to test God, and Job. So God, when he saw that Satan said that, he asked that, he gave the permission to Satan to go forth, to touch everything that he had. Job was a very rich person. I watched a couple of videos on people who studied Job, his story, and some other books outside of the Bible, and the equivalent would be like, you know, like our president nowadays. You know, his net worth was in billions. He was a very successful man. And God said, go ahead and take all of that from him. Take away his sustenance, meaning his business. Well, there was no word for business back then. His farming, his animals. Take away his family. Take away everything that is important to him, everything that sustains him. I allow you to do it. But do not put your hand on him personally, meaning you don't kill him. And here's a very interesting thing, brothers and sisters. Satan does not have a full authority over us. Praise God. God is the one who's able to set boundaries. Satan will never do anything outside of God's will. Satan can never overstep God's protection upon us. He can hurt us. He can take away a lot of things from us. In another place in the Bible, there's a scripture that says, fear the one that can hurt your soul, that can destroy your soul. Do not fear the one that can destroy your body. In other words, fear God who has the power over your eternity. And don't fear Satan who only has the power over your flesh. 13th verse. Now on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding besides them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was speaking that, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was speaking, another one came in, and another one came in, and another one came in. So imagine this. Job was having a time, having a blessed time with his family, with his sons. He was spending good quality time. And then out of nowhere, the world comes crashing on him. You know, imagine if we're, you know, sitting here today and we leave here tonight and then we get over the news, you know, the third world war is starting. Where, you know, the potential of the third world war is, you know, this civilization is going to go back to the medieval times. Something like that happened into his life where he had a good time. Imagine, have you ever been at the top of your feelings in some day when maybe you passed a test or you've been given a gift or you achieved something or you bought something that you always wanted, or you're so happy with something and then in the same moment, in the same day, you receive bad news. Except for Job, that was like bad news after bad news after bad news after bad news. Imagine having everything and then losing everything within a day. And this is what happened then. We read in the 20th verse of the first chapter. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshipped. 21. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what's interesting? When resounds with me so much, because when everything goes well in my life and then something bad happens, immediately I go and I say, God, you gave and you take away, right? So I'm still in that happy wave. Something bad happens, and then immediately by the fact that I'm a Christian, that I've grown up, you know, in church, that I have, you know, a Bible in my head at all times, immediately, of course, my reaction is to thank God. But do I really mean that when I say it? Because down the line, you know, it's by the time Job will realize what actually happened, what he actually lost, he's not going to be speaking that. He's going to be speaking something different. But it shows our nature that him being perfect, Job being essentially perfect almost, believing God, being close to God, very close to God because of how pure and righteous he was before him. That made him thank God initially. And, you know, and maybe something might, you know, we are all young. We're all relatively young, right? The audience, I mean, I'm looking at you guys, you are 14 to 25 to 30 maximum. You know, we haven't experienced much in life, right? Like life hasn't hit us that hard yet to be able to relate to what Job went through. That's why we have a Bible and it's written on the pages of the scripture, you know, so that we can learn from someone. We can learn from what other people went through. And how would we react? How would we react if the world would come crashing down on us today? If we would leave from this place and all of a sudden we would lose our job, we would lose our income, our property would be taken away from us, or we discover we have sickness or illness, how would we react before God? Are we going to be thanking Him? Are we going to be praising Him? Are we going to have a smile on our face? That's the question that we should ask tonight, and I'm asking myself too. But Job's reaction was, God gives and He takes away. Amen to that. We're moving on from that. Job, second chapter. Sixth verse. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, again, he is in your power, only spare his life. Satan went on from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. So, interesting about this part is that this is even a worse attack. This is a worse pain upon us. Why? Because when we are sick, when our bodies are sick physically, when our flesh is suffering, the whole world is meaningless to us, right? If we have millions of dollars in a bank account, but we are nailed to the bed with some sort of illness and we are barely breathing and we're suffering in physical pain continuously, would we care about that much money laying in our bank account? Of course not. When we have a lot of success, when we have a lot of achievements in our lives, and we can lose all those things and be healthy, then we won't be as sad because we can try to rebuild it back. But when the body gets struck, when the physical flesh gets struck by a sickness or illness, then it's a whole other new level of pain. That's a whole other new level of attack. Would you agree? One of the biggest pains that we can have is the pain in our body. And so that's what happened to Job. First test came into Job's life where Satan took everything from Job but his health. And Job said, God, he praised God. He still praised God. Now Satan went to God and he said, Lord, okay, he's still praising you. But I'm telling you, I can do more. I can hurt him more. And I'll show you, I'll prove it to you, that he will curse you to your face. So God allows him to go a step further. He allows him to hit Job with physical pain. Sore boils from the sole of his foot, basically from down, from bottom up. He was covered in soils. He was covered in scars. He was covered in sickness. His body was falling apart, quite literally. He was in disease. And so what happened? Eighth verse. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. And his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. There's moments and times when even the closest people to us, even the closest people that we look up to, that we honor, that we love, that we respect, sometimes it might happen that even they will come up into our lives in the future and say and give us an advice to go against God. And that's what happened to Job's wife. Job's wife, she, as much as Job, she was also suffering. She lost all her children. She lost her entire family. She lost the possessions that they had. She was in the same boat with Job, with her husband. And her flesh, obviously, being weak by the nature, our flesh, brothers and sisters, is weak. She's coming up to him and she says, are you still going to praise God? Are you still going to hold to your integrity? Just curse him and just die and don't wallow in your pain. Don't wallow in your sorrow. Don't sit in these ashes. It's done. It's finished. The only thing you can do is just escape. The only thing you can do is put a hands on yourself by cursing God, basically. And this is what Job says to her, verse 10. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. It's incredible how I can't imagine what he was going through. I can't imagine the pain that he was experiencing, the loss that he went through. I can't. Even if his family would say those things, the closest person in life, his wife, his family members went against him. I can't even imagine. And that's why God chose us people who he knows will withstand. He knows that those people will stand. If God was to give it this kind of temptation to me today, I would fail. I would fail. I would break like a little twig. I will. God knows what temptations, what trials to give to each one of us. He knows our strength. The Bible says, you will never be tested. You will never be attacked. You will never be persecuted beyond your abilities. And only God knows those limits. Only God knows that limit. And dear youth, you know, we're going to be praying, and the desire of our prayer, the thought of my message is, may God give us strength. May God give us strength to be able to withstand, to be able to overcome issues that might and will probably come into our lives. Because we are young, dear brothers and sisters. We are young. We have life ahead of us. Future that we have to live through, and the nature of human life is such that there always will be problems, some more than others, but they will be there. But God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. You might ask, you know, where was God throughout this whole time? Where was he present? How would he look upon his servant Job? Where is he? You know, dear youth, if some of you are going through any struggles, through any pain, through any suffering, whether it's mental or physical or in any other way, shape, or form, and you're asking yourself today, you know, where is God? Or where was he when something was happening to me? Why did he allow this or that to happen to my life? He was right there. I love a song that our youth sometimes plays in a coffee shop. It's the lyrics over there, they go, I wonder why the good man cries, the bad man thrives, and Jesus cries because he loves them both. Jesus loves every single human being, good and bad. For some reason, you know, this world, as we look around, we see that people who are successful, whether it's financially or in any career, a lot of those people are non-Christians. A lot of those people don't believe in God, because the world that we live in, dear youth, the world that we live in is not God's. It's a fallen earth. It's a fallen world that's under the control of Satan. God allowed Satan to rule upon this world. When Jesus was standing before the Pontius Pilate, he said, I'm not of this world. I'm not the ruler of this world. My world is from heaven. So Jesus hurts. I cannot give you the answer. I cannot give you the answer. Where is God, and how is he allowing things to happen into our lives? We can't. And the best thing that we can do is hope in his faithfulness, because he is faithful. And the reason why he is faithful, my time is up. I want to skip all the other verses that I had, and I want to go all the way to the last chapter of Job. 42nd chapter. Before I read the second verse of this chapter, I want to say this. Job went through a lot of pain, through a lot of tribulation, and we might already are going or will be going through similar tribulations in our lives. And it's upon us how we react. Job, when his body was struck, he was angry, because that's a normal feeling. That's an earthly feeling that we have. That's part of us. It's part of our flesh. It's part of our sinful body. But he stayed faithful to God. He continuously, every time, there's so much, about this story. He had friends that were telling him, surely you're doing something wrong. Surely you've made some sin. There's no way you can be this perfect and holy and not have God attacking you. And he would still remain faithful to God. He would still remain faithful to the word of God. And may God give us strength. May God bless us and strengthen us, youth. May God bless you as you leave this place tonight. As you go home and tomorrow you wake up, you go to school or to your jobs, or you spend time with your family, wherever you might be, to remember that God is faithful, to remember that God is there, that the pain or suffering that you might be going through right now, it will go away. It will pass away. Job, through all of this, he said, chapter 42, verse 2, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. In other words, basically, he says, I know that you can do all things, and there is a reason for everything why you're doing things. There's a reason for my suffering. There's a reason why I'm going through what I'm going today. There's a reason why all of us are going through struggles in our lives today. There is a reason. We might not see it today. We might not see it right now. But God sees it, and he knows it. And he calls us to be faithful to him. And at the end of it all, Job 42:10, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. All of his wealth, his family, God multiplied that twice. There's a reward for staying faithful, dear brothers and sisters. When we will be going through our problems, when we're going to be going through our tribulations, and we will stay faithful to God, he will reward us. He will give us a reward. He will multiply the blessings that we had before, whether it is earthly or whether it is spiritual, heavenly. May God bless you, brothers and sisters. May God give you strength to remember this week, as we go into this week, to remember that he is faithful, that problems have come and they will be coming, that Satan is not asleep. He's not a human. He's not in flesh. He's active 24/7. He's going to be trying to attack God's people all the time. Our job, our calling in life is to stay faithful to God, because God is always going to be faithful to us. He is always going to be faithful to us. Amen? Let us go into prayer. Господь, we thank you, my God. We thank you, because sports got